Hello and welcome back to the Footy Fix podcast. We say this every week, but it always ends up to be true. Another exciting week in the international break with lots of things happening that we will surely get into. But first of all, Baz, how are you doing, man?
Oh, just peachy, Ben. Just peachy. You know, just great, great, great after Italy's game. Just so good. I have literally no words to describe how good I am doing after Italy's game.
Well, that's going to make a fairly short episode then.
Yeah.
But before we get off into that, let's start off with these questions.
Yes,
so my question for you. All right. So one day you open your Instagram and you see three messages. You see one from Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yeah.
You see another one from Real Madrid.
Oh.
And you see another one from Newcastle. The one from Cristiano Ronaldo is saying to you, going to Madeira, want to come out, I'll fly you out. We'll do a personal training session for 7 days. The next one says, contract offer. You're going to be a rotation squad player. You'll earn 120,000 euros per week, and you'll get in on the bad games. And then the third one was from Newcastle, first team player, 550,000 euros per week, or British pounds. And you will be guaranteed playing time against all the big sides. What are you taking? Both contracts are 4 years in length, by the way.
All right. So if I was just in my position like right now, obviously I'd go see Ronnie, see what's going on. But because the other two offers are contract offers, I'm going to have to Ronaldo. I'm not coming to Portugal. I'm sorry, brother. You're out of the running right away. I'd probably have to go with Newcastle. I know like personally, yeah. I could care less about like my domestic success. If I'm getting 500K a week, that is ridiculous.
550 or 550 pounds too. Like,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. I could be, you know, I'm a very competitive person. I feel like you of all people would know that as one of my I could probably turn off my competitive spirit for a little bit for 550K a week. I'll go play in Newcastle, you know. We'll see what's going on. Get to live in England,
man. 1 week and you're like you've bought in a car. You bought a car.
That's
you put
what I
down
mean.
Payment
one
on a house.
Yeah,
like,
you've got
that's it.
Everything you want after 2 weeks. Honestly, after 2 weeks, you have everything you've ever wanted at that point.
Literally,
I would have bought everything, which is just a bunch of different expensive food.
After year, man, your children, your grandchildren are off. They're set.
If I was thinking more about like legacy and stuff like that, obviously you take the Real one, even as a rotation player, because there's just so much more chance for like trophies and different things like that and successes. But me being me at this point in my life, I'm a little greedy. I'm a little poor. I need money. So definitely be going with the Newcastle contract offer, but not a bad contract offer either. I mean, you get to play in the Prem, make it bank. You might be on a bad team. Yeah. But like, you know, it's the way she goes.
Well, I mean, yeah, Newcastle are also building something, which is why they're offering you such a ridiculous wage,
that's
right?
I mean,
so you might be part of a team that is going to be really good in the future. So
you're going to turn into Man City in 10 years with the oil money.
You never know what you could win, man.
Honestly, I'm okay with that.
100% I'm okay with that. I'm doing that one for sure.
Yeah. And my question for you on the topic of Italy, because I know it's going to be a lovely, lovely discussion we're about to have about this. I think
Absolutely.
One of the clearest things or clearest issues with our national team has never, ever been defending. It's constantly been goal scoring. That being said, who is your most clinical striker in Italian national team history? So not necessarily, doesn't have to be good domestically, but just when they put on that Azzurri shirt, who is the most clinical striker that you would have wished we had against North Macedonia?
Wow.
See,
that's
this is
very
difficult. I was going to say, there's two people for me that are like really close.
Yeah, there's a couple for me. Like obviously that 06 team, you had Luca Toni, Del Piero, Totti, Inzaghi. And then obviously later on you had guys like Balotelli who would always show up in the Azzurri uniform. Wow. Oh my god. Well, let's go process of elimination. Inzaghi was only good in like the really big games, only for Milan.
Mm-hmm.
So he'll go. I think, can I take them in their prime? Like, can I select
one their best
campaign?
Like you're talking, you can talk about if you want, you can go specifically for one World Cup campaign. Who is
okay.
The most clinical striker for the national team?
I'll tell you what, man, for today's game and for this kind of team, Italy, while they don't have a creator like a classical number 10 or center forward like Totti and Del Piero were, they don't have the nine either, the clinical nine. And for this team, for this era, for modern football, I'm going to take 2012 Balotelli on this team. I just think that he is exactly, he's everything that they need. Because they do create chances. I mean, like, we'll get into the stats later, but 32 yeah. shots against North Macedonia. Like, that, they create chances. There are opportunities there. And I think that a front three of, like, Balotelli, Chiesa, and Insigne would be just mm-hmm. absolutely monstrous. And this is prime Balotelli before he started going completely mad. Yeah, I'm going to say, controversial. I'm going to go Balotelli for sure.
No, you know what? The two players that I was mentioning earlier, one of them was Balotelli, and the other one for me is 06 Totti. Yeah. I think Totti just, he is just such a flow almost to his game. Back then, so he had smooth. The long hair too, and the jersey's just billowing in the wind behind him, and he's dribbling over guys like he's a Brazilian. Like, it's just, he was something else. And so you cannot fail to mention who you did mention, Luca Toni as well. Like, yeah, just so good. You want to talk about a clinical striker, maybe not your fastest guy, but you want the ball in the back of the net, you put Luca Toni up there and you guarantee he'll get a goal for you.
Yeah, man. He won a golden boot back in the early 2000s. Yep. For me, it was always between Totti and Balotelli. Because, like you said, Totti was just such a graceful player, man. Like, what a golden generation for players we had. Honest in the 2000s, like 2000 to 2008, 9. What years? And then everything after that has just been completely shite.
It's been a beautiful collapse. Not beautiful. It's been a collapse, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, a monstrosity of a collapse. So, speaking on to that, let's get into probably one of the biggest shocking results that we've seen in the past few years in international football. North Macedonia beat Italy in the first stage of the World Cup qualifying finals 1-0 after a 92nd minute long range goal.
Screamer. You have screamer. To say screamer. It was a screamer. Like, you can't even be upset about it.
It was an absolute screamer, and they lose out. Italy will not be going to World Cup for the second consecutive time. That's the first time in their history as a national team that they'll miss out on two World Cups back-to-back. So, obviously...
Don't you love that that's when we're watching football? Like, we didn't get to come up with a golden generation. We get to come up with a generation that just chokes.
Our age, like 20 to 22, actually, I would say honestly from 22 until like 14 have been completely shafted.
Yeah, because they can still remember the England.
In watching in the Italian national team. And people will say, yeah, you won the Euro last year, which is, again, purely a blessing. But it's the World Cup. Like, it doesn't feel like a World Cup without Italy there.
Mm-hmm.
And... I don't know, like, what was your first reaction to the game? Because obviously, it was such a sudden thing. Italy had all the possession, all the control, all the offense, and then all of a sudden they didn't, and they just left it too late, and there you go. What are your thoughts? What did they fail to do that game?
The biggest fail, put the ball on net. I mean, you have 32 shots, and 5 of them hit the target.
Yeah,
that is abysmal. Like, that's not even playing soccer at recess with your friends bad. Like, that's worse than that. That's house league soccer. Mm-hmm. You cannot, like, you work so hard to get these chances, and then every time, constantly, you're just squandering them. You're wasting them. I wanted to throw my remote at Berardi so bad. Oh my God.
That one was bad.
My Nunna has a better right foot than him.
Yep.
Like, so many, just over the net too. That's what confused me as well. So many guys are going for these top corner shots. Where did North Macedonia's goal go in? Along the ground. Sometimes the as a goalkeeper as well, speaking from experience, sometimes the hardest shots to save are those ones on the ground, because you got to get down and then get across too. You know what I mean? But Italy, every time they got in there, it looked like they were just tensing up. It seemed like the nerves were getting to the forwards, like all the talk before the game was getting to them. Because like, at the end of the day, 32 shots, 5 of them hit the target. That's inherently something is wrong with your striking, with your finishing ability at that point. And there's no discredit here either to North Macedonia. Like, complete kudos to them. You know, they did play a very good defensive game. Obviously, Italy had shots out the wazoo, but North Macedonia was, for the most part, able to defend it off and push back. And then, I mean, that goal, you watch that happen, just every single person on that Italian team broke down there. Yeah. Every single, I don't know what the back four was doing there. I don't believe it was Bonucci. It was our other center back.
Bastoni.
Bastoni at that time. He pulls across. And that's what gives the I'm not going to attempt to pronounce his name, the guy who scored, but that's what gives him enough space to take his 1-2 and step into the ball. Because after the header is won, Bastoni's running out of position. I don't know why he was running. Like, it makes no sense. The camera turns after the North Macedonian player wins the header, and it's going towards Donnarumma, and he's running away. It's like, why are you hustling back into position now? And it leads to a goal like that. And again, all credit to North Macedonia. Beautiful goal, very hard to stop. If you're Donnarumma, you know, there's not a lot you can do. Tried his best to get there, but it's in the side netting at that point. Like, honestly, very reminiscent of the Eder goal that won them the Euros. Like,
Yes,
just on the ground, powerful. And you think
just out of
everyone's
nowhere,
thinking,
out of
"Where's why
nowhere.
is the goalie not getting there?" But I mean, it's a hard, powerful shot into a low corner. What do you want him to do?
I just like it's such a it was such a weird game, and it was so shocking. And you just kind of you got to be careful. And like I've been talked about this with my dad about 1,000 times in these big games, like at club level in the Champions League games. If you don't take advantage of your opportunities, it's going to come back and bite you in the bum. Like that is just what's going to happen. And I know that's a common phrase, but there's something like mystical, like mythological about these big games, these big tournaments, where if you don't capture the momentum when you have it in your hands or when it's just about to be in your grasp, then it'll shift to the other team. And this was such like this Italy game is very odd. It was a systemic failure at every level. I think when we look at that starting lineup, questions need to be asked. Donnarumma was a lock for me. Immobile, Insigne, Berardi, Barella, Jorginho, Verratti, they're all locks. Of course, Berardi without Chiesa, right? But then you look at the back four, and it's like Florenzi, Mancini, Bastoni, and Emerson. Now, this is a qualifying game for the World Cup. This is like the biggest game this team has had since the final of the Euro. Why isn't Chiellini in there from minute zero till minute 90? I don't understand that.
No, I the one argument that you guess you could say was that he's saving him for Tuesday because Chiellini is getting a little older and he would rather have him full form for
Yeah,
Portugal. But
but
I mean,
still,
that's
you
yeah,
know?
it's you can't overlook the game that you have in front of you. You can't already be looking ahead to the game against Portugal when you haven't gotten through the Macedonians yet.
Exactly. And I
And
just
not,
feel, sorry, go on.
oh no, I was gonna say, I completely agree that even I would start, I'd say even you get Acerbi out there instead of Mancini.
Yeah,
Like
like
you want a little
veterans.
bit of, yeah, veterans. You need a little bit of that character and that presence. And I think that even with like Emerson, I would have personally gone with Desilio over Emerson. So I think
That's what
Desilio
I'm.
again has more experience in the national team and has more experience playing on stages that are this big and in
With
games that are this
Juve,
big. Yeah, with
yeah.
Juve especially, because he's had so much experience with that throughout his whole career. So I would have started either of those two over either Emerson or Mancini. That being said, I don't think that at the end of the day, defense really was our issue. I mean, I know 1-0 loss,
No,
but
I know still it's just like these are questions that have to be asked. And
that's
I
true. Because
mean,
what else was changed then?
what else was changed, right? And I do say it, when I do look at that the front three, like for given what they had available, this is like the best possible option. But that being said, man, like even with like Berardi, Immobile, and Insigne, it's not a very good front three. Do you know what I mean? And they clearly showed that. Like you said, they really like the amount of shots they missed, 32
Ridiculous.
and then 5 on target. That is embarrassing for any level of football, for any level, for any team. But when you got guys like Immobile, Play won the Golden Boot 2 years ago. Okay, he had the most goals domestically in Europe. 2 years ago, he outscored Cristiano Ronaldo, in debatably his best season at Juve. Then you got Insigne, who internationally is an absolute bombshell, but domestically he could be inconsistent. But again, this is for the Azzurri. Then you got Berardi, who's always he's in double digits in both categories in Serie A this year. These are good players. Why are they not hitting the target? Why are they not putting balls on net? And when the biggest one that I saw, there were two. There was one that Berardi, when he had that broken play and the ball came out and he completely scuffed it. And then you had Immobile, the ball into the box, the turn, the sky. It's hard to pinpoint this. And so at this point, given all that's happened, and I'm still remember the Euros because just remember the positive times. Given everything that's happened with this team, I'm going to ask you two questions. Number one, was the Euros a fluke? Was that win a fluke? And number two, Mancini in or out?
So, two things. One, I don't believe the Euros was a fluke just because of the win streak we came into it and left on it. If anything, I'd say us losing to Macedonia would be the fluke because we're expected to do well. And second thing, honestly, I'm still Mancini in. Like at the end of the day, I think that if you have a quality manager, you've got a Zidane, you've got a Pep, you need to keep them. You need to hold on to them. Yes, not every result is going to go your way. That's just life. And I think that a lot of people have the tendency to overreact when there's big losses like this. And Mancini himself said it, that he was never been more disappointed in his life, and he was taking credit for it. And so I think that right away, when your manager is instantly taking the blame and not trying to put it on players or anything like that, that's really respectable to me compared to like sometimes Conte, when they lose games, Antonio
Oh,
Conte
all the
instantly
time.
starts rinsing his players. I don't like a manager like that. I'd rather have out because I feel like he would be toxic to a dressing room
It's a
after a big
cancer,
loss
yeah.
like this. Yeah. Whereas Mancini, I don't see him going back and making the locker room worse. I would see him going back and being like, guys, come on. I've been part of so many great things. You've been part of great things. We've been part of a great thing together, the Euros. What just happened? We need to get back to where we were. I see him as more of a we guy than a me and the team. You know what I mean?
Yes,
So
yeah.
because of that, I'd say Mancini. And I, again, I like him. I like his tactics. And I think this was just a case of we needed somebody else at striker. And I
Yeah.
think the one question I have of him is why not call up Moise Keane? I know he's
Yeah.
maybe not having the greatest season right now, but in a time like this, like you call up João Pedro, who all respect to him, he's got 10 goals in Serie A this year, but he's 30 years old. Like he's not someone that's going to be in the future plans of the team. So why would you bring him for a game like this rather than bring someone like Moise Keane, who maybe you put him out there, he's a little bit of youth, he's got a little bit of energy out there, and that's also added experience for the next tournament.
Exactly.
So I think some questions of that could be raised about Mancini, but I'm still Mancini in. How about you? You Mancini in or Mancini out?
Yeah, of course I'm Mancini, and I was just asking you because I saw a lot of headlines asking that very question, and I
Ridiculous.
thought like, look, it's a tragedy. It's terrible. It's a complete like it's a bottle job. However, like it's one game. You can't really attribute a loss so significant to Mancini. It's just again, it was a systematic failure at every level. Mancini failed. The front three, the midfield three, the back four, Donnarumma. They just failed. They just failed. And I like Mancini. I like when he was at City. I like the work he's done both at club and at the international level. I think that given everybody who was available to him, he picked probably the best possible squad, realistically, with aside from Keane, because I do agree with you wholeheartedly there. There's no reason that Keane shouldn't be there. There's absolutely none, unless because I think he missed the Euros due to some conflict with Mancini or somebody in the team or whatever the hell it was. Regardless of that, you got to put the bias aside, the feud aside, and you got to have that guy on your team. And
Yeah, you gotta do what's best for the team.
that just goes back to these little things that he decided to do, like call up João Pedro, a 30-year-old João Pedro instead of the 23-year-old Keane. Like start the two center backs who are both under 25 rather than just throw Chiellini in there. And the reason being is that he might be half a step slower than he was last year when he was in his prime. He might be physically deteriorating, but mentally, he
Strongest
is
player.
always there. And he's the one guy in that team that will lead you to victory no matter how he does it. And I look around at the starting lineup, and there's not one guy on that starting lineup that I think would be vocal enough to say, all right, guys. We're missing our chances. You guys are being effing idiots. Score the ball. Like, just a guy to rally the troops. There's not one of those guys in that starting lineup. And I think that plays a really big role in why they lost and why they didn't score a single goal. And to me, like, honestly, what do you do after this? Back to the drawing board, like you said. Let's get back to those winning ways. Let's recapture that form from the Euros because they're really, it's completely embarrassing, but it happened. It's over with. To that point, you think if they, let's just say, for example, they played the exact same way they did, same subs, same misses, and they instead scored the last minute injury time goal and went on to play Portugal.
Yeah.
Do you see them winning that game against
Against Portugal?
Portugal?
No, I wouldn't have. If it was because it happens like to it's gonna be tomorrow or sorry, Tuesday the 29th. But I wouldn't see them beating Portugal, especially if they played like that, because Portugal is not a team that's necessarily that sound defensively, but what they are always sound in is offense. You can always count on Portugal to score, right? So I feel like that game would be completely set up against us, especially with how the form that our forwards were coming into the game with. It would have to be another 1-0 victory or like a penalties nil nil. Pray to everybody, pray to everything. But I think what you said earlier, where do you go from here? I think you got to purge your forwards as Mancini.
I
I'm not
agree.
calling Immobile back. I am calling Berardi back, maybe, but putting him on the bench behind Chiesa and going, watch how he plays, play a
Role
little bit like
player.
him, and you might actually get out there. And
Yep.
Insigne, I mean, he's already basically gone. He's going to the MLS. He's signed his death warrant in terms of his
That's
international
over,
career.
yeah. Yep.
But I also, one thing that irked me was that Chiellini is out. Who do they give the armband to? Ciro Immobile.
Yeah, that was a bold
That,
play.
like you said, a captain needs to be someone who can sit there and give other players crap and tell them, hey, I need you to be doing this and this yesterday. If Giorgio Chiellini is coming up to you and telling you what to do,
I'm
yes,
doing it.
Giorgio,
I'm doing
in
it.
a second, I'll do it. If
Yeah.
Ciro Immobile is coming up to you and trying to inspire you and trying to, I'd look at him and go, well, why can't you do that?
Yeah, go
You
score
haven't
a
been
goal
able
and
to
then tell
score for
me.
us. Why can't you do? So I think that even that is just kind of a questionable decision. I would have even given it to Florenzi or Insigne because I think they're the two most tenured and most respected outside of Chiellini.
Or you go Verratti, right? Like
Yeah,
that's
even
the
Verratti would be
guy who
better because
controls the game,
he can
right?
yell at people and they'll actually listen to him. Because if someone like Ciro Immobile is getting mad at you, it's like your little brother trying to tell you what to do in a video game. You're like, come on, I'm better than you. What are you trying to tell me what to do?
Exactly. And it seems fitting that like the armband either, honestly, this might be bad to say, I guess, but I've never really seen an armband be on a forward other than Messi and Ronaldo at the international level. If you can think of one, because
Yeah.
where is it, right? It's usually in the midfield or the
Or the
defense or the
defense. Yeah.
keeper.
I'm trying to
It's
think now.
nowhere else. You got Spain, Ramos. You got Italy historically was always Buffon and then Chiellini. Portugal and Argentina are obviously Messi, Ronaldo.
But that's better than
Brazil, you can
Messi,
make the
no.
case for Neymar, but it's usually Marquinhos. It's
Or Thiago
usually
Silva, even it
or
used to
Thiago
be.
Silva. It's usually Casemiro.
Yeah.
All these teams, they have their captains. Netherlands is Virgil van Dijk. Belgium, it's De Bruyne or Courtois. It's always the guys who it's either the keeper, the loudmouth defender, or the midfielder who controls the entire game because they have a very, very integral role, win or lose. They are one main guy in a cog in a unit that control their particular unit. And for what you're saying, like Ciro Immobile, striker or not, he doesn't control anything. He's not the front man. He's not scoring the goals in that front three.
No.
He never has for Italy. And it's the weirdest thing in the world because with Lazio, he's really good. Like he's not in that S tier of strikers in Europe. He's not, but he's in the A or B tier.
Yeah, he's
Like he
definitely
scores,
higher up in
yeah.
domestically than the second he gets international, to
Exactly.
drop him down to D tier. Like it's terrible.
Exactly. He scores a lot of goals for Lazio. And so and then the other thing I wanted to get into is that, with all these guys, I don't like the average age of this Italy squad at all. I
Too
think
old, yeah.
it's about might be about 29 or 28 years old, which is old. Like that is old. You got to implement more youth. So considering this, then we consider that there are no more Italian teams in the Champions League. This might be for like 4 years running because they have not been good, and we can say Juve.
Yeah.
What is, how does this make the Italian youth level and the Italian development look?
It's honestly, that's a surprising thing. It makes it look bad. But
Yeah.
like I think it was either last year or the year before, we won the under 21 World Cup. And then
Yeah.
the year after, we made it to the finals and lost to, I think it was Spain who ended up winning it. Like Italy still has great youth,
But
but
where are they?
yeah, that's fair. I
Why
mean, I don't
aren't
know
they
where they
here?
are right now.
Why aren't they here? Is that's the thing I have, the question I have. Where are these youth players?
I think
Like,
honestly, I think that he should have started Barea. I don't think he should have started Jorginho. I would have had Tonali or Locatelli. I would have loved to see either of them
Tonali, I
start because that, like
yes.
those three midfielders for the future, because Verratti is getting older now as well. He's not there yet, but he's pretty soon he's going to be gone.
He's still class though. I still
Yeah,
would have
he
kept him
is.
in there.
But Locatelli, Tonali, and Barea, I'm pretty confident in our future for the midfield.
Oh yeah, are
And
you kidding me?
like it's just there's no forward prospects. I think that's what Italy is solely missing or sorely, sorry, missing right now is there's no real forward prospects out there.
There's none, and if we have to rely on the likes of Immobile or Keane, even though I like Keane a lot.
Yeah, Keane's really it, I'd say, for youth.
Or like Berardi, they're not in a good place. Like, no, they're not in a good place right now. And it's just, it's sad to see. You know what I mean? It's sad to see.
Very big fall from grace.
Yeah, in 2014, they missed out. Or sorry, in 2018, they missed out. Now in 2022, they're going to miss out. It's not nice. You want to? They've won 4 World Cups, for God's sake. They need to be in that tournament.
Yeah.
And it's just, it doesn't seem like a fitting World Cup. It doesn't seem like a proper World Cup without them.
No.
But moving on, Portugal defeat Turkey 3-1 in Lisbon.
Yeah.
In what was, at times, as I described it to my dad, Portugal was playing like 3 different teams that day. Not simultaneously, they were doing it in shifts. One, it was Bayern Munich.
Yeah.
Two, it was 2011 Barcelona. And then three, it was 2021-22 Juve. It was a rotation between the three. Roller coaster motion. Portugal scored 2 early goals in the first half to go with a 2-0 lead. Turkey stormed back with a beautiful link-up play. They got the penalty. Yelmaz skies it, and then Leao gives the goal to whoever, and then Portugal are off to the final of the qualifying round. What are your thoughts on this match?
I thought the word of the day for Portugal was adversity, and they were able to overcome it constantly, because first adversity comes with Ruben Dias being out, and then you find out Pepe's got a little bit of COVID too, so you're missing both of them.
Yep.
And you find yourself with a 38-year-old starting at center back for you, which is scary to some people, because I don't know if you've ever tried to watch Jose Fonte run. I think I run faster than him.
Oh yeah.
So it definitely adversity. And I mean, also not only that, you overcome adversity in the game as well, because like you said, they went up two, and complete credit to Portugal for coming out good, and getting their 2 goals, getting ahead, but they come out from the second half and they don't come out so good. They don't come out so strong. And Turkey, to their credit, was able to capitalize on that and sense that Portugal wasn't playing as well at the beginning. But then again, adversity. Kudos to Portugal, because Turkey scores the goal, makes it 2-1. People start to think, oh, you know, momentum swing. Are they going to let them back in the game? What's going to happen? No. Portugal does great job to keep them out for the rest of the game and end up getting, you know, a late brace in, or double brace at that point, in injury time. And I just think it speaks to, again, their ability to deal with adversity. I think the Italian team's got to look over at them and go, hey, those guys, you know, they're pretty good at dealing with that adversity thing. That's what's going on with us. So I think overall, as a Portuguese, like if you're a Portuguese fan, you can only take positives, because I understand that there was definitely points in the match where they were playing negatively and were playing poorly. But overall, at the end of the day, they were able to get the result they needed to. And you got to remember, they're missing Ruben Dias and they're missing Pepe as well, which not only changes your center backs, but also that moves Danilo Pereira up. So that changes your midfield and how that's composed. And the whole team is going to be different on Tuesday. And I think that's another advantage actually for them, is that North Macedonia is going to be looking at the game today and going, well, who knows what they're going to come out like on Tuesday.
Yeah. Right?
Because I don't know how COVID works nowadays in terms of like the restrictions and such. But I don't know if Pepe's back or not. I know Ruben Dias won't be back, but I think you get Pepe back, you can change it up a little bit.
So that was the big issue. And I like, adversity is literally the perfect word for it. To that point, I think it's 5 days. I think it might be 5 days. I think
Pepe would be good for the Tuesday game.
But speaking on that, so I drew up a similarity between the Italian game and the Portuguese game. And that would be that, again, without those leaders at the back, Portugal at times found themselves clueless. And there was a period of time. So like I said, it was Bayern, it was Barca, and then Juve this season. And so they came out the game flying. And I mean flying. For about 15 minutes, maybe 20, Turkey did not touch the ball. They didn't see the ball. Portugal were pressing. It was the complete opposite of what we've been saying about Fernando Santos. Like we were pegging him as the, you're too defensive for such an offensive team, blah, blah, blah. He came out flying, and then they scored, and then after that came the Juve period. And when I say that, I mean they tried to play out from the back. There was absolutely no communication because Pepe or Dias were not there, and the whole back line was in shambles. There was, I counted, 6 giveaways to Turkey in the final third, in Portugal's final third, and if they had taken those opportunities, Portugal would be going home. There were shots from outside the box. There were header opportunities inside the box. And it goes to show that not having that one vocal leader at the back can throw off the entire back four. Because Rafael Guerrero, good left back, experienced left back. Jose Font, Danilo Pereira, two good, solid players. Obviously, Pereira's playing out of position, but he's still, that's his second position. Mm-hmm. And then on the right, you had, who'd you have on the right? Let me check the lineup quickly before you're going to do it. You had on the right, you had Diogo Dalo. So again, decent fullback, but that's the thing. One, missing that one guy, and they were all over the place. They gave up a lot of giveaways, and that was the moment where I was worried. Then they went back to Barcelona, and it was like time-wasting tiki-taka, goal. Now, I like the way they played for about an hour of that whole game. I like how they moved the ball, and they pressed, and they just flipped the switch, because I'm used to a very defensive Portuguese team with Santos. That's how he won the Euros in 2016. Mm-hmm. He played very defensive, despite having a lot of offensive talent. I'm worried about this Macedonia game, one, because they beat Italy, two, because they did beat Germany at home in the qualifiers. That was a huge win. And three, because I don't know what kind of lineup Santos is going to pick. Mm-hmm. And if I'm him, I look at the team. They just beat Italy. We can say Italy played so poorly that they didn't pick the right people, that it was a systematic failure. And it was. However, they still beat Italy.
Yeah.
They still had to score. If I'm Santos, I'm starting my best possible lineup. And I'm talking Ronaldo, Felix, Bernardo, Bruno, Diogo Jota. I'm talking at the back, Pepe, Danilo Pereira, Nuno Mendes, Cancelo, every starter, act as if you're playing Germany, because Italy's proven that you cannot take anything for granted. There's no rest days. Yep. This is it. If you want to play in November in Qatar, you have to play your best players. Don't take anything for granted. And if they do that, if they play the same way they did against Turkey, it'll be 1-0, 2-0, 3-0, all the way to Qatar. That's what I think.
Honestly, now that you're mentioning him, I'm surprised that we didn't see maybe, just because Fonte is as old as he was, Guerrero move to center back and still start Cancelo or Nuno Mendes.
Cancelo was suspended. Okay, okay. Suspended, sorry. Him and Renato Sanches were suspended, fair. So they had to shift the lineup around a little bit.
Okay.
And they do have the depth to do that, but I do agree with you. Font was a good player in 2018 and 2016. He did a lot of work for us.
But he's just too old now.
He's too old and he's too slow, and he conceded that stupid penalty, and that could have been it, right?
Yeah, because they scored that penalty, it would have been...
Who knows? Yeah. Who knows what happens? All I know is I'm late for soccer because it goes extra time. That's all I know.
Yeah, that's fair. You want to touch on the Canada-Jamaica game quickly, or do you know if we have... We got like 3 minutes here.
Let's wrap it up. Let's wrap it up.
All right. Well, last thing actually I wanted to say quickly was, I think that just North Macedonia beating Italy, I think it just speaks to how competitive and how hard it is to get out of the Euros, which is why I again think Euro winner deserves instant qualification.
Yep.
That being said, anybody thinks that CONMEBOL or CONCACAF or any of that is equally as strong as Euro, please, adambazana@gmail.com. Let's have a discussion. Because one of my friends the other day was trying to tell me that the Copa America was harder than the Euro, and that it's more difficult to qualify out of South America. And I went, sir, I'm not talking to you again. I'm leaving. I had to go home. I had to take my stuff, my jacket on, get out of there as quick as I could. With that being said, thank you very much for listening to us. Definitely an emotional episode, I'm going to say today. You know, hit a little bit too close to home, but
agreed.
It is what it is. We're here with you. With the good times, we're here with you through the bad times as well. Thank you for being with us through these bad times. And we hope to see you guys next week. I'm Adam Bazana.
I'm Ben Batello.
And thanks for coming to the Footy Fix.